Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Got a lot of stuff to get into today. Obviously, NFL playoff weekend is coming up. That's something to get into. I got to tell you last night what happened to me while I was watching the Lakers lose to the Charlotte Hornets. I got to tell you about that experience because it's something I think you need to hear. But to be honest with you, before I get into anything, believe it or not, with all the stuff that's going on in the world of football right now, forgive me for veering left just for a couple of minutes to get something off my chest right now. I got baseball on my mind. I got baseball on my mind. I got this Kyle Tucker 4-year, $240 million deal from the Los Angeles Dodgers on my mind. I've got a $60 million a year contract on my mind. The Mets offered 50. They offered the deal in the $50 million a year range. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like the Dodgers are sitting back and they're just going like this. Y'all go ahead. Y'all go out there and get the highest offer. Let these teams, you know, just throw whatever they want to you or whatever. It's no big deal. We'll just wait. And then after they make a final offer, we'll just usurp it. That's all. Kyle Tucker's a damn good player. He's a four-time All-Star. He was considered the biggest prize on a free agent market. He's a four-time All-Star, however, whose projected market value was $40 million per year. And the Dodgers gave him 60. 60. You're looking at this right now. Do y'all understand that the Los Angeles Dodgers have 8 players on their roster with 9-figure deals? 8 players with 9-figure deals. The offseason ain't even finished yet. They got 8 players with 9-figure deals. Their estimated payroll for 2026 is at about $334 million. $334 million. Tax payroll is going to exceed over $400 million. You see the number from Kyle Tucker there. If you don't, I'll tell him to you. He's averaging 266, 22 home runs, 73 RBIs, 25 stolen bases. Ladies and gentlemen, $60 million? $60 million? I ain't hating. I'm happy for the brother. Get your money. All power to you. But $60 million? The 8 players on the roster for the Los Angeles Dodgers with 9-figure deals. Of course, Shohei Ohtani. 10 years, $700 million. Okay? See, we got to get this stuff out the way. Mookie Betts, 12 years, $365 million. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 12 years, $325 million. Kyle Tucker now is at 4 years, $240 million. Blake Snell, 5 years, $182 million. Freddie Freeman, 6 years, $162 million. Will Smith, 10 years, $140 million. And Tyler Glass now, 5 years, $136.5 million. Now, they say that Tucker's deal features $30 million in deferred money, giving it a record present day AAV of $57.1 million. Average annual value, that's what that stands for, $57.1 million. Surpassing Juan Soto, the New York Mets, $51 million. The Dodgers already projected to exceed MLB's top luxury tax tier in 2026. Tucker's luxury tax hit will effectively cost the club nearly $120 million per year. Keep in mind the $70 million per year Ohtani gets, $68 million of it is deferred. I'm just looking at this right now. Highest average annual contracts in Major League Baseball. Dodgers, Ohtani, Kyle Tucker is now the second highest paid player, basically, terms of average annual contracts. Second highest in baseball, next to Ohtani. Juan Soto's third at $51 million. Zach Wheeler for the Phillies is at fourth at $42 million. Aaron Judge for the Yankees is at fifth at $40 million. When you look at Ohtani and the $68 million deferred per year, that's $680 million. Is then paid out in equal $68 million annual installments from 2034 to 2043, effectively giving the Dodgers a large interest-free loan for roster building. That's what Ohtani's contract does for them. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. Wait, a lockout is coming. A lockout in Major League Baseball is coming. It's not going to be 2026. It's going to be 2027. We got that. We at least got this upcoming season to look forward to. But after that, expect a lockout. This just can't continue. This just can't continue. Entering his ninth season, first 7 years with the Astros, 2025 with the Cubs, turns 29 on Saturday. I'm talking about Kyle Tucker. Won the World Series championship with the Astros in 2022. Named an All-Star in four consecutive seasons. He's a two-time Silver Slugger. He's got a Gold Glove. Finished fifth in the American League MVP voting in 2023 when he was with the Astros. His average over the last five seasons, 132 games per year played, 277 batting average, 365 on-base percentage, 878 OPS, 80 runs, 27 home runs, 87 RBIs, 21 stolen bases. Ladies and gentlemen, these are good numbers. Good numbers from a damn good player. And we should all be happy for him for getting this bag. But $60 million? The only reason the Dodgers are doing this is because they can. They print money. This can't continue. Props to the Toronto Blue Jays for taking them seven games. Props, because money can't buy you everything, and we get that. And the Dodgers won that damn championship because they played their ass off in that game seven, no doubt. But I'm just looking at this in game six, by the way. But I'm just looking at this right now. It's like, wow. Last season, Dodgers became first to repeat World Series champions since the Yankees won three straight from 1998 to 2000. They repeated as World Series champions for the first time in franchise history. They played in five of the last nine World Series. They played in 13 straight postseasons, longest streak in the majors since the Yankees had a similar streak from 1995 to 2007. Los Angeles, armed with a $417 million luxury tax payroll, the largest in Major League Baseball history. It's a lockout coming. Nobody can do this but the Dodgers. Nobody. Yankees refuse to. Mets got a billionaire, but he ain't trying to do that. This is just hard. And then I'm looking at their lineup. Will Smith is your catcher. Freddie Freeman at first base. Tommy Edman at second base. Mac Muncy at third. Mookie Betts at shortstop. Teoscar Hernandez, who might be moved to, he's probably going to be moved to left field. Andy Pages. Kyle Tucker in right field. Shohei Ohtani is your DH. Lord have mercy. Good Lord. I just wanted to get that off my chest because it needed to be said. It's like, it's got to be some level of fairness. I mean, listen, I'm a Yankee fan, and I didn't have a problem with the Yankees when it was being accused of buying a World Series. I'm like, get the hell over it. But they didn't do this. They didn't go out and just throw money all over the damn place just because they could. And the reason why I bring up this also as well, you got Mark Walter, the owner for the Los Angeles Dodgers. A decade ago, he purchased them for $2.5 billion. He just purchased the Lakers for $10 billion. I got news for you. They probably wishing that they could do this in basketball the way they could do this in baseball. Because I got to tell you, watching the Los Angeles Lakers last night, I got to admit to you, I wouldn't blame him if he did. I mean, there's only but so much J.J. Redick and his staff with Nate McMillan and Scott Brooks, former head coaches in the league. There's only but so much you can do. Los Angeles Lakers. Listen, this is not bad. Through the month of November, 15-4 record, third best in the NBA. Since December 1st, they're 9-11. They've lost four of their last five. The Lakers have only had Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves in the lineup together for 8 of the 39 games this season. So we got to take that into consideration. I got it. But their overall three-point percentage, 34.5%, 23rd in the NBA. I mean, they lead the league in two-point field goal percentage at 60%. But it's 34.5%, which is 23rd in the league. You know where they're even worse, the Los Angeles Lakers? Three-point percentage on open threes, 30%. Only the Pacers are worse in the entire NBA. And why does that matter? Because last night, I took a break from football, and I'm watching the Lakers against LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets. And I'm telling you, it was like a 15 to 20-minute stretch. I'm watching the game, and the Lakers are wide open and can't make a damn shot. What the hell is J.J. Redick and them supposed to do? You got open shots, open, and can't make a bucket. I mean, my God, it was bad. And it's got to be killing J.J. Redick because he made his career because he was a sharpshooter. To see cats missing baskets like that, the missing open three-point shots, your job as a coach is to get dudes open to make shots. Lakers coaching staff is doing that. But you know what? It's so bad, I don't know if I can look at the Lakers coaching staff fully and give them total credit. I mean, it's almost as if teams are figuring out, don't guard them. Stay in the paint. Make them shoot the open threes. They'll miss them. And won't guard him. It's almost like the Ben Simmons treatment. I never forget one of my favorite moments watching. Carmelo Anthony, of all people, was pressuring Ben Simmons. And then it was like this light bulb popped in his head and an epiphany hit him. And then he turned around and just sprinted to the paint. Why am I guarding this man? This man ain't pulling up for no jump shot. What the hell am I doing? And they're like, hit him. Why are you guarding him for? That was Ben Simmons. It's unbelievable. I watched the Lakers last night. I was like, my God, I know I got to get into some NFL. I know I'm getting into some college football because we got a national championship game to get into with Indiana and Miami on Monday night at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm doing all of that in a second, but I just had to get it off my chest. I could not believe how wide open these dudes were and how they were missing shots. Meanwhile, LaMelo Ball, of all people, dropped 9 threes on them. 9. I'm sorry. I didn't know that LaMelo Ball became the second coming of Steph Curry. I didn't know that. But that's what he looked like last night. I couldn't believe it. I really, really couldn't believe it. I said, what the hell is going on here? I can't believe how bad these brothers are at shooting open three-point shots. LaMelo Ball shooting 38% from three-point range this year. That's not slouchy. But you certainly don't look at him and expect him to hit 9 threes. But that's certainly what he did. Averaging 20-7 on the season, by the way. Props to him. But I just wanted to get that off my chest before I moved any further. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Got a few things to get into. First of all, what's your best game of the weekend? Is it the Rams versus Chicago? Is it Houston at New England? Is it Buffalo at Denver? Is it San Fran at Seattle? I'm going to tell you, for me, the game of the weekend is L.A. at Chicago. Now, the cold weather could end up ruining everything. I understand. But to think about Matthew Stafford coming into Chi-Town, to see them rabid fans in Chicago who really haven't had much to celebrate in recent years with the Bulls, with the Bears, with the White Sox. I mean, the Cubs went to the postseason, but you knew they weren't beating, you know, they weren't getting past the Dodgers and stuff like that. You know, bottom line is, or Milwaukee for that matter. Bottom line is, you look at the Chicago Bears right now, this is special because you got a quarterback who's emerging and who's coming into his own and is showing us that he is going to be every bit the star we expected him to be when he was picked number one overall in the draft a couple of years ago. Caleb Williams is the real deal. And this brother goes on the football field. You're at a deficit with under 2 minutes, with 2 minutes left. Seven times this year, he's led the Chicago to comeback victories. Seven times. And I mean, I'm just looking at them offensively. First of all, Ben Johnson is a top two candidate for coach of the year. It'll probably go to Vrabel because Vrabel's three games better than him at 14-3, and they won their division and stuff like that. But Ben Johnson is the number two seed in the NFC, just like Vrabel's the number two seed in the AFC. I think Ben Johnson's right there for coach of the year, honest. But when you look at Caleb Williams, he didn't even complete 60% of his passes. Who gives a damn? Nearly 4,000 yards passes, 27 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions. The brother can run. He's got wheels. And my God, can he throw on the run. Might be the best in the game at throwing on the run after scrambling out of the pocket. If weak side, strong side, don't matter. He's that special. Caleb Williams is a bad brother now. Let's keep it a buck and let's be real about it. He's a bad brother. He's special. And I think Chicago's got a chance to win this game. Let me say, however, I think that's the game of the weekend. When I think about San Francisco going to Seattle, I think about the fact that they've scored 20 points in two games against Seattle this year. They're averaging 10 points. Their offense struggles. Now, Seattle's only had 26 points, which means their offense is struggling against Robert Saleh and that San Francisco defense as well. We got that part. But that 12th man, that defense in Seattle, that's a lot to overcome when you're San Fran and there's no Ayuk, there's no longer a Deebo Samuel, there's no Fred Warner, there's no Nick Bosa, there's no George Kittle who just tore his ACL, his Achilles rather. Look, man, this is a lot to overcome. I have to say that. And I look at San Francisco, and the reason why I got San Francisco, and I'm not saying it's not going to be a game. I'm not saying it's not going to be competitive. But what I'm saying to you is that I got questions as to whether or not San Francisco is going to be able to score on this defense. I really, really do. In Seattle, I think it's a lot to overcome without you being fully loaded. I really do. Going back to Chicago, I feel the way that I feel about Caleb Williams. But Caleb Williams knows better than anybody. There are doubters out there he's trying to prove wrong. I ain't one of them. I started the season highlighting how the brother started game one. Game one for season number two for him. He was on his third head coach and his fourth offensive coordinator. Give him a chance. And sure enough, they did. And look at what the hell we're seeing from this dude. Caleb Williams is going to be special. I'm telling you that right now. But he knows there's doubters out there, and he spoke about it too. Let's listen to what he had to say.
That's never been a worry of mine, is proving a doubt is wrong or anything like that. It's a little extra motivation in that sense, but it's not for me to prove them wrong. I know who I am. You know, not everything happens within 365 days or 1 year, my first year, or even my second year, or third year, whatever the case may be. So it's my mindset to be able to keep growing. I've been in some big games and things like that. And so, you know, it's in the moment you enjoy it. You treat it like another game. You treat it like a regular game. And, you know, at some point it hit me. At some point I'll look back. At some point, hopefully 10, 15 years down the line, I can look back and, you know, kick my feet up and you know, laugh and joke about, you know, some of the things that went on.
I love Caleb Williams. I love his game. I love the fact that he holds cats accountable. You saw him on the sideline getting in cats' faces, screaming, what the hell are you doing? Let's go, let's go, let's go. I mean, I love it. Only his second year, he's the leader of the Chicago Bears as a player. We know Ben Johnson's the leader, but he's the leader as a player. It's him. And I'm telling you right now, he's the future. I think he's going to be better than Jaden Daniels. I really do. And Jaden Daniels can ball. And the Washington Commanders should not be upset at having him. He needs to put some weight on, needs to adjust, get more durable. That's true. But I believe in Jaden Daniels as well. But I believe really in Caleb Williams. And I think Caleb Williams is going to be better than Drake May. I do. And Drake May can ball. Drake May has surprised me. And he deserves a whole bunch of credit because he can really play. And I think that he's going to be the difference against Houston this weekend because he can use his legs. He ain't a stationary target like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is 42 years old. That ain't Drake May. So I think that Drake May is going to come and he's going to do his thing. That defense in Houston is going to get after him now. But offensively, you're not going to be able to do much against New England, in my estimation, particularly if Nico Collins still can't play because he hasn't recovered from concussion protocol. But in the end, are you going to be able to do much offensively? You're going to give New England too many bites at the apple. And then to me, this Bills Mafia and Josh Allen going to Denver. Love Josh Allen, respect the hell out of him. You know, losing Gabe Davis, losing Shavers, being relatively undermanned, having to go to Denver, got a knee and a finger injury, your damn self. Don't have an all-world wide receiver because your management didn't go and get Jalen Waddle from the Miami Dolphins, holding out for a first-round pick that you wanted them to take in 2027, and the Bills wanted it. I'm sorry, the Dolphins wanted it in 2026. All that don't make no damn sense to me. You give up the 2026 first-round pick to get Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle, you do that because you need that all-world wide receiver. It didn't work out, and as a result, I think this is where the chickens come home to roost because now you're looking at them and you're saying, hey, what you going to do now? You're going up to Denver. That defense ain't slouchy. By the way, they recorded 68 sacks. They got four different dudes with at least 7 sacks. Benito leads them with 14 sacks. And on top of it all, you got Patrick Surtain shutting down an entire half of a football field because nobody can throw against him. I don't see how the Buffalo Bills win this game. I know Joe Burrow is home. I know Lamar Jackson is home. I know Patrick Mahomes is home. And as a result, it was Josh Allen's best chance to advance to the Super Bowl. But you know what? It ain't his fault. That brother's a stud. It ain't his fault. You got to give him some damn help. And he don't have it for this game against Denver. To me, Denver will have to just put forth a choke job. Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton, those boys, will just not be able to show up in order for the Bills to beat them. The Bills should not beat the Broncos this weekend. It should not happen. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.